Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. By DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday, until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 220, October 28th, 2015. It's all about shortwave. Hello, everybody. It's almost Halloween. This is Bob Heil. I have all kinds of fun time guests with me tonight, so don't turn the dial, because we have some great stuff. We're going to talk about shortwave transmitters, big ones, from TWR, and we're going to talk about Heathkit. I know there's all kinds of rumors that it's in, out, up, down. I have the scoop here, so we're going to visit a little bit there. Don is here and got his camera fixed. Don, how are you doing? Are you looking good?
Well, thanks. I'm on the MacBook tonight, which is different. Normally, I'm on the nice Logitech on the Windows machine, but it was a hardware issue. Apparently, I reinstalled the drivers last week, and it was working. And then Sunday, I went to do the Newsline video, and it wasn't working. So I had to get out the MacBook and figure out how to do all that. Anyway, long story short, I've got a warranty claim in on a. It's got a 2-year. Logitech has a 2-year warranty on the Logitech cameras, and it's only 5 months old, rather, from the lightning strike. So I'm waiting to hear from Logitech, and hopefully, they'll send me a new one, Bob. And we've got Dr. Tamitha this week, too. So look out for that. She's on the way. Look at my finger right there.
We have two docs tonight. Okay. That's great. Let's go down and see what's happening in Costa Mesa. How you doing, Gordo? You all right?
We are fine. We're getting ready for Halloween, and happy Halloween to the chat room and to everyone. Bob, back to you.
Well, you look wonderful. And we'll come back to you in just a second, but the talking about chat room, if you follow the show, why, you know that Amanda and Jeff are moving the next couple of weeks. So Valerie is sitting into the chat room. She'll be back down at the bottom of the show here, and she's taking your questions. So everybody, give her some good questions for us all. So Valerie, thanks for filling in tonight. Well, let's see what else Gordon's got. I know he's got some slides, so let's see what you have from Costa Mesa, Gordo.
Okay. Well, from Costa Mesa, we have Arizona right after the big Pacificon ham radio convention 2 weeks ago that several of our team members were at. Arizona, everybody said, oh, that's a small one. That's just a little state convention, but here's the inside track. And Brian, if you want to go ahead and roll the short shots. First of all, anytime you work a small convention, you're working with dealers and exhibitors that are going all out. You won't find a Kenwood, Yaesu, Icom, Elenco, or one of those there, but you will find dedicated mom and pop exhibitors at these smaller state conventions. And as we travel to Kingman, Arizona, we have some great landscape out there. That mountain was trying to tell us something, but as we found out, Kingman, what a wonderful city. And we'll travel to the Route 66, and we were on again and off again on Route 66. Boy, Bob, when they had the Route 66 on the air, what a great route to commemorate. And, you know, it's not real crowded in Kingman, Arizona. That's on a Saturday late afternoon after the convention. Great time to check out all of those neat shops and see some of the old buildings. And look at some of these older signs that have been resurrected. Kingman has really worked hard to make things happen. especially for the ham operators. Well, you knew on that Friday that you were getting close because we pulled in all sorts of county and city and state vehicles that ham radio operators were staffing for their served agency. And whenever you do these smaller conventions, go in these vehicles because you're going to find that many times some of these smaller cities will outdo what some of the bigger cities have. And most important, the smaller cities like Kingman tend to use a ham radio operator a lot more than some of the larger cities with sworn personnel. So we enjoyed prowling around looking at all the interoperability that's going on. Look at all these radios. Only a ham could figure those out. And we even had the Kingman Crime Scene Unit. Look at that. That's good enough for TBTV, huh? And they've got that Route 66 right there. And many of the ham radio clubs brought in their communications vehicles. And, you know, you sometimes don't see this at the big conventions. They don't make room for the little guys. Well, let me tell you, this was great to see this great communications vehicle out front of the ham radio center where all the activity was taking place. That Friday morning, they put together a great deal with Skywarn with the National Weather Service. And the HamFest chairman and chair lady, Bill and Tammy Smith, this is all their job to get all of the teams organized. And they had so many different radio clubs. I don't dare mention them all because I may miss one. But let me tell you, what a great team to work with, Bill and Tammy Smith, active ham radio operators. Well, we first wanted to check out the swap meet because you can't have enough antennas or weird stuff. And when you go to these smaller shows, you get some really strange stuff. So I encourage all of you, do a small show. And you'll probably bump into AC. Anybody out in the Southwest knows AC. What a fun guy. That's AC on the left. Life is good when you have a great ham radio station like mine. And AC, we see him here. He's all dressed nice and cool. But at Quartz Fest, well, it doesn't get that cool. He warms up with some extra paraphernalia. But come to Quartz Fest in 2016, and you'll see AC and his green palm tree lit up at night as the big welcome for Quartz Fest 16. Vendors. You know, these vendors travel hundreds of miles to go to some of these smaller shows. Their vehicles are absolutely loaded down with tables and stuff. But before we went inside to see the stuff, we had to do a little outside looking. And you find stuff at these smaller ham fests that outdo what the bigger ham fests have for swap stuff. And let me tell you, you want a thick-walled mast. Well, they probably have this at DX Engineering, but they were literally giving away this stuff. Well, I think that would hold an antenna or two against the wind. Look at the thickness of that inner wall. Wow, wow, wow. This is the setup outside by Radio World. We'll get it right. And look at some of that great gear. Looks like swans and an SGC and just neat stuff that you'd only see at probably a smaller ham fest. And what's a ham fest without our military surplus communications guy? And, you know, that's sort of funny. No, he's talking Skywave on 75 meters. And no telling who he's talking Skywave to, maybe another military station somewhere else. But his gear was live. And the neat thing about these ham fests is it's fun to see the live setup. American Radio Relay League there at the Kingman Ham Fest. And they were doing a great job. They were getting loads of signups because, you know, it's getting down to the time that dues are going up. So if you are a paying member, and I sure hope you are, get those dues in before they go up. An ARRL section manager, Robert Spencer, was there to greet everybody, and he did a fine presentation. They had a neat overhead projector, actually mounted on the ground, but overhead, and all the facilities, a PA system. Just because a ham fest is small doesn't mean that it cuts back on stuff. Now, when we talk about stuff, Pat, Joyce, Doug, and Kip, they outdid themselves, and that's not everyone in the photo. That I mentioned, because I don't have everybody's name, but look at all the stuff that these small guys bring to these small conventions for a big display. I mean, if ever you're looking for weird stuff, go to the smaller state conventions or local conventions or swap meets, little half-day swap meets, and marvel at all that the individual swap folks will bring to sell and look at. And if you have kids, some of the exhibitors will take good care of them. That's Roger of Wired Communications. He's the LED guy, and what a character. He and Kimmers had everybody laughing by doing all sorts of fun stuff with the miles and miles of the LEDs. And there you see a close-up of the light-emitting diode strings. And he's got some rock-bottom prices at Wired Communications. And he's got waterproof ones, too, for vehicle. There's Kimmy, and she's taking good care of the customers at the big, must have been 40 feet of Wired Communications booth space. And here's Susie talking to one of the Wired customers. We've got our books out there, and, of course, all those LEDs off to the left side. And it's fun because these smaller conventions give you more time to rub elbows and just talk with neat people. Need a capacitor? There are gazillions. And Kingman had no shortage of stuff. Some of the smaller exhibitors brought big exhibit stuff, such as the great line of all the new LED meters and amp meters. We also had a great display of Alpine antennas, and they were running up and down. They're motorized for big RVs. And beside the Alpine antennas, just tons of stuff for you to choose. Now, this is the Hammerslags get-together, husband and wife team. Dick and his wife traveled to gazillions of ham shows almost every weekend. They set out all of these boxes, and they make it happen. Same as some of those folks on the East Coast and the Midwest. What a job. This one even brings their own tent to some of the ham fests. If you're looking for an LED light that is about 2,000 lumens, you'll only find them at the smaller ham fests. He actually probably had the most flashlights I've ever seen at the 1,000 to 2,000 lumens level. And that's Pat. Yeah, Pat's all smiles. She's getting ready for Quartz Fest. But look at all the stuff at a small convention where they do a huge job of bringing in stuff for those conventioneers to look at. So don't judge a convention by either how big or small it is, but the exhibitors that bring in stuff, including good stuff from HamSource that has voltage Anderson connections and voltage monitors. All of this was hooked up and live. You see these same folks year after year. This is a shot in Dayton, and they keep smiling and they keep doing. So next time you go to what you think is a small convention, thank the vendors because they bust their butts to make things happen. And he looks pretty happy as well. At this Kingman Ham Fest, they had some great grand prizes, some transceivers, and the grand prize guys are keeping track of everything. Look at that nice convention hall. Floor was nice and clean. The weather wasn't hot. They had air conditioning if we needed it, and we didn't. They were ready. Testing, very important. Here was the outside test area, and because the weather was just breezy and nice, it worked out super, and they had about 25 go through the examination process. And after they go through the exam and get their certificate of completion, of passing, they'd come over to my booth, and we would give them the Gordo diploma. And it was fun to see all these folks. Well, part of our deal was our Amateur Radio Instructor Academy. And this is where we take ham operators that want to start teaching classes or helping as Elmers and getting them officially lined up. And, of course, after they graduate, they'll get their Instructor Academy certificate. And the academy was full. We had about 40 in the room, and they were all at the looking at all of the goodies that we brought. And as a good instructor, you always want to have stuff. Well, they appreciated a lot of this stuff, not all of it, but a lot of it that they were able to take home themselves as an instructor. And those of you that may want to get aboard Instructor Academy, go to instructor, hamminstructor.com. One word, hamminstructor.com. and sign up, and you can get a lot of this stuff as teachers of ham radio. So we loaded them up with all sorts of paperwork. Look at all the gizmos. As a ham instructor, you gotta have stuff for the hams to look at. He's looking at the potato cooker, trying to figure out how it can generate about a volt and a half at a measly 20 milliamps. Or maybe it was 2 milliamps. And, of course, the CW Keir that TSA held me up with, that was a big hit. And kids really got a kick out of that. So the Ham Instructor Academy class was a good one to show them how to lay out a table where you have folks on both sides to get twice as many folks in that smaller classroom. And how to make sure that your classroom is accessible by anyone that is not able to go upstairs. And that's Pastor Jason, W6AUX. And he is attending to Kevin. And Kevin is an extra class ham, as well as a Boy Scout, Eagle Scout. So, wow, ham radio has no barriers in getting everybody on the air. So ham radio for kids is great. And we talked in our ham instructor class about how to get more kids into our hobby. And that is get them up front doing something. So it was a great class. We were quite happy with Kingman. And thanks to the Amateur Radio Council of Arizona for having us on board. So next time you see a ham radio happening, say hi to the Hammerslags. Look at all of this stuff that they bring with their high-tech liquidators operation. She's hanging on for dear life because she knows after 2 days they got to put it back in the van and head out for another ham fest. So ham fests are fun, even the small ones. Make it a point to go to a small ham fest, support that group, support those vendors, and have fun, as we did at the Kingman, Arizona Ham Fest. Now, coming up is October 31st, this Saturday, the Grand Strand Amateur Radio Club Halloween Beach Fest from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Look it up at w4gs.org. In November, we've got another ham fest in Congress, Arizona. KJI in New Jersey is having a dealer fest around the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Then in December, we have the big Pluto, W7 Pluto activities going on for a week in Flagstaff, Limark, another 50th anniversary for them. And our condolences for the loss for those in Northern California of famed ham radio operator N4DXA. That's Robbie Spencer. Robbie was a Ham Nation viewer. A lot of viewers wrote in, so we're very sad for Robbie. So we hope everybody will visit a ham fest soon. If you've got a ham fest coming up that you'd like us to talk about, also send a photo. We're really going to try and get a photo with every ham fest we talk about so you're not having to look at my cat face or my dog body for Halloween. Meow, woof. Back to you and over now to Don. Don, what have you got?
I'm going to tell you about a great sponsor of Ham Nation and one that I use, in fact, quite a bit. It's called Audible.com. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks. They have almost 200,000 downloadable titles, over 180,000. And these titles go across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. And the cool thing about Audible is you can get it on your computer. You can get it on your Android stuff. You get it on your iDevices. In fact, I've got it on my iPhone and my iPad. We've got some screenshots so you can see exactly what the Audible app looks like on my iPhone and my iPad. Victor, if you want to bring those up while I'm talking about this. And for listeners of Ham Nation, Audible is offering something really cool, and that is a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out the service. There it is on the iPhone. You can see I'm kind of a big Stephen King fan. The one I want to talk to you about, though, is the second one right there, right next to the airplane. It's called 11-22-63. This is a really cool book. It's about time travel and a guy who goes back and forth and back and forth between present day and back to a few years actually before. And he actually tries to stave off the assassination of JFK. And I believe they're making this into a movie. I've heard that they are, but it's a great book. Of course, 11-22-63, the day that those shots rang out and President Kennedy was struck down. This is an amazing read. And you can see here, it's 30 hours, almost 31 hours long, which I always like the long books because I have a long commute. I have a two-hour commute to and from pretty much every day. I've got a 125-mile drive. Of course, it took me 2 hours just to get home tonight because of an accident in front of me and construction. But it's a great way to kill that road time or actually any other time when maybe your hands are busy, but your brain is not. And so for listeners of Hampton, but check this out, 11-22-63, I think you'll really enjoy it. I love it. And the good thing about Audible is even if you have to, maybe you decide that you need to suspend your service or whatever for whatever reason, you know, things happen. Every book that you buy is yours to keep. So even if you completely cancel your Audible service, you still have access to every book you have ever purchased. And that's the cool thing about it. It's just like going to, that's a good one too. Oh my. And of course, you know, for Halloween, that's, yeah, it. That is a, if you don't like clowns now, you sure won't like clowns after you read that one. I've got on a whole Stephen King kick, but nonetheless, you want to check out Audible because everything that you buy is yours forever. Just like going to the brick and mortar bookstore and buying a book that you actually hold in your hand. It's the same way. It's yours to keep forever. So I want you to go to audiblepodcast.com/hamnation and you can get a free audiobook, give you a chance to try out the service. If you don't like it, and I think you will, then you cancel. But other than that, you get a new book every month for, I believe it's whatever your monthly fee is for the gold packet. I think it's like $15 a month. You get a free book and you're going to love it. audiblepodcast.com/hamnation. And we do thank you so much for being a great sponsor of Ham Nation. Now let's get into the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline, shall we? From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1982, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, October 28th, 2015. Typhoon Kopu slammed the northern Philippines the weekend of October 18th, and by the time it was downgraded to a tropical storm last Monday, it had already left its deadly imprint. Torrential downpours and landslides led to dozens of deaths and tens of thousands of evacuations, but disaster response from radio amateurs was just as rapid, and the National Telecommunications Commission worked with the Philippine Amateur Radio Association to meet the challenge. Hams mobilized to keep tabs on all affected areas and relay information as needed. The Philippine Amateurs Ham Emergency Radio Operator Network, or HERO, focused special attention on the eastern side of Luzon, the main island battered by the Category 4 storm. Kopu is being called the second most powerful storm to hit the island nation this year. With Kopu history, attention's turned to Hurricane Patricia and its landfall on the Mexican West Coast. We'll have that report next week. Arthur Collins, W0CXX, the founder of Collins Radio Company, was known as an amateur radio wizard. He was the creator of innovative equipment and radios that would eventually make history, including the radio that landed on the moon with Neil Armstrong and carried the astronaut's voice back to Earth. Collins' legacy is being celebrated in a just-released documentary. Amateur Radio Newsline's Mike Askins, KE5CXP, talked to one of the film's creators.
The Arthur Collins Legacy, A Culture of Innovation, is a 24-minute documentary that includes interviews with the people who knew Art Collins best. Collins has been called the most underrated technical innovator of the 20th century. We spoke with Bob Hobday, N2EVG, about his involvement as executive producer, about the documentary, and what the filmmakers were trying to achieve.
What we did in the documentary was capture how Art Collins was able to infuse his dedication to quality and his dedication to advancement of technology in Collins Radio. And we've done it by interviewing those people that worked for him and how it allowed them the freedom and encouraged them to make the advances that came out of Collins Radio.
And Bob, now that the movie has debuted, can we get a copy on DVD?
They are available by writing to the Antique Wireless Association, P.O. Box 421, Bloomfield, New York, 14469, and they will be for sale for $15.
If you would like more information, you can visit Collins Radio Heritage Group's website, collinsradioheritagegroup.org.
Hams who ordinarily might be more preoccupied with the solar cycle kept their eyes fixed earlier this month on more terrestrial cycles, in this case more than 1,000 two-wheelers, during the 41st annual Mount Dora Bicycle Festival in Florida's Lake Country.
Following the Riders is a 25-year tradition for the Florida Hams, who provide critical communication to keep cyclists safe during the Mount Dora Bicycle Festival. Cyclists follow 12 separate routes of varying lengths, but all have the same purpose, to raise money for the local food pantry. While the cyclists followed their routes this year, once again, the Lake Amateur Radio Association and Lake County Florida Aries followed the cyclists. With 1,325 cyclists from around the country riding this year, the Hams were kept busy. The longest route was 100 miles. The shortest, just 12. Many featured Lake County's trademark challenging hills. Even early morning fog and Florida humidity did not get in the way of the riders, nor did anything get in the way of the Hams, who kept close watch at rest stops and in radio-equipped motor vehicles. The vehicles transported cyclists whose bicycles had broken down, and in one case, a rider who suffered a broken collarbone. Plans are already in the works for the 2016 Mount Dora Bicycle Festival, which will run from October 7th through October 9th. Yes, the Hams will be ready, too. I'm Heather MB, KB3TZD in Berwick, Pennsylvania.
And finally this week, another means of emergency communications just went online in Southern California. Hams in the Laguna Woods, California area now have a wireless network to use for data transmissions in extreme emergencies. Three new antennas just went up in the region, creating the Amateur Radio Emergency Data Network, also known as HamNet. Dave Southworth, KS6RFI, Secretary of the Laguna Woods Club, describes it as, quote, very similar to the internet in that you can send email and everything else, but you can't go out and send it to mom and pop in Wisconsin. It's a mesh network with each antenna performing the same role a router might perform for the internet, and it provides speeds for data transmission that outpaces even the voice of a radio amateur. Yes, it's that fast, and it should be. It's the area's safety net for communications. Southworth adds, quote, it's an alternate communications path. If there were a big earthquake where the earth shifted and cut internet cables, then we would use our radios and HamNet capabilities to communicate between other HamNet meshes. It could even transmit pictures of areas needing emergency services, giving first responders an idea of what's needed. And it's one of many such projects throughout California's Orange County. With this HamNet, the region's safety net has just widened a little bit more. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for over 37 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Mike Askins, KE5CXP, Heather Emby, KB3TZD, and Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, saying 73, and we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. And now, here's Dr. Tamitha Scove with the solar update.
We find out why some solar storms are actually good for emergency communications. And a new flare player rotates into view off of the sun's east limb, and boy, it looks fighting mad. Those stories and more in the news this week. The sun's activity is actually declining a bit this week, mainly because regions 24, 34, 36, and 37 are rotating off of the west limb. These have actually combined to bring us a kind of a 1-2 punch in a solar storm that we thought was going to give us some aurora, but it actually turned out to be a bit of a fizzle. I'll talk about that in a minute. Meanwhile, while they're rotating and we're saying goodbye to them, we actually have a new player that we've been watching on the backside, and you can kind of see it off the east limb now. It's firing and spitting and just angry. I mean, this thing is rotating and it's not even in full view yet, and it's kind of really beginning to freak us out a little bit. So this is pretty cool. And meanwhile, we actually have another filament that looks like it might have just lifted off and given us a partially Earth-directed solar storm, but we'll have to give you an update about that in a little while. Switching to your M-flare threat meter, you can see the last time we had an M-class flare was back around the 18th. Since then, we've been kind of hovering just below the seafloor with a few pops and whistles here and there. We had that one eruptive flare you can see right there. That was that solar storm fizzle I was talking about. But since then, we've really kind of hovered right below the seafloor until about the 27th when things started to ramp back up, and that activity will continue to ramp up as this new region rotates into view. Switching to your solar storm conditions, you can see we've really not had that much going on since that huge solar storm back in early October. There's only been a few brief instances where we've popped up over storm level, mainly because of some high-speed wind. And then in about October 25th, that solar storm fizzle hit, and look what happened. Everything just dropped right off the map. Everything got very, very quiet, and that's because the solar storm was configured the wrong way to create aurora, but it actually quieted everything down. So it was perfect condition for the amateur radio operators, which was great timing, all things considered, because of that hurricane in Mexico. So it kept the ham bands clear, and I'm sure you operators absolutely enjoyed it, but don't get too spoiled because activity is beginning to ramp back up again. So what else does the sun have in store for us this week? Well, this is Stereo A. It's our backside monitor. You can see here's Earth, here's the sun, and here's Stereo A staring at the sun from behind. And what I want you to notice are two things. First, I want you to notice that dark equatorial coronal hole. That thing is rotating off and actually into view at Earth right now, and it might be bringing us some fast wind, maybe starting later in this week. But the second thing is, look at this active region. This big bright thing, it is firing off solar storms. It is flaring. I even looked in the stereo data, and it's given us a particle radiation storm. And this thing is angry, and it is rotating into Earth view. That's the region that it seems to be farting and spitting stuff off the east limb when we were looking at it earlier. And if it continues to give us the show that it's been getting us on the backside, we are in for a stellar week. Returning to the disk, you can see regions 24, 34, 36, and 37 are now rotating off of the sun's west limb. And we're left with regions 24, 40, a dying 39, then a new one that's growing, and another one in 2441. This whole region right here, we've got little fits and starts of active regions. So we're watching these because they're kind of fast growing, but they're not really doing too much for us. But pretty much all eyes are going to be on that east limb region as it rotates into view. We don't really see much yet, but that's going to be changing in the next few days, and expect your flare activity to increase. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are anticipating a slight impact from a weak high-speed stream that should be hitting us on the 28th and 29th. NOAA is giving us about a 30% chance of minor storm at high latitudes over those days. At mid-latitudes, we're only expecting about unsettled conditions with only about a 25% chance of active conditions over those couple days. But as we move into Halloween, things look quiet right now, but we do have that solar storm that just got launched. We don't have any details yet as to whether or not it might be partly Earth-directed. If so, expect these numbers to change, especially around Halloween and into the beginning of the month. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, NOAA is only giving us about a 10% chance of an M-class flare over the coming days because right now there really aren't any M-flare players on the disk itself. However, we do have that east limb region that is rotating into view, so these numbers will likely increase as the week continues. Meanwhile, we really don't have any threat right now for a particle radiation storm, even though we have those other regions rotating off of the west limb. They were only firing C-class flares at the time, so we're not really expecting any particle radiation storms, so we should be in the clear. So although we say goodbye to a few regions leaving the disk right now that actually brought us a little bit of activity, we're actually very excited as we look towards the east limb with this new flare player that looks like it's so angry. It's giving us dazzling displays already, and it's not fully into view. So what this may mean is that we may have some more M-class flares on the way. We may even have some solar storms, and who knows, maybe even a particle radiation storm. It's hard to tell yet. So our eyes were fixated on this region as it rotates into view, and that means you amateur radio operators, expect your noise floors to rise, and you aurora photographers, keep your fingers crossed that we might actually get some solar storms once this thing enters Earth's strike zone. And also, that new solar storm that just lifted off a little while ago, we don't have any information about that yet, but I will keep you guys apprised to see whether or not this thing might be partially Earth-directed. So keep your fingers crossed. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
It's a shame we can't get her to come out of her shell, isn't it? She's very subdued, that Dr. T. And thank you so much, Dr. T, for being a part of Ham Nation. By the way, last week was her birthday, if you didn't hear. Not this Monday that just passed, but last Monday was her birthday. So happy birthday, Dr. T. And let's check in with another doctor now who has a very special guest, and that would be Dr. Bob.
All right. That is just so great when she comes on and gives us all this wonderful information that tells us our transmitters are going to work. Are not going to work. They're going to work, but are the antennas going to do something? And we never know, but she helps us along the way. And one of the things that she will be able to tell us is if we're going to be able to hear some shortwave. And I want to introduce a good friend, Lauren Libby. Lauren, are you there tonight?
I am. Good evening, Bob. How are you tonight?
We are really good, and I'm so happy you could join us. And you're the president and the CEO of TWR. Tell us a little bit about TWR.
Well, TWR is a content provider. We do it by shortwave, very high power, medium wave, which is the AM band. Here in the United States, we do it digitally. We do it satellite, and we do it by print media. And we talk to about 165 countries each and every day in 230 languages. And no, I don't speak all 230 languages.
I can see that. I can understand that well. Well, we've got a few pictures, and we're going to take a look first at the whole entrance, I guess. So tell us a little bit about what we're seeing. We'll run these by about 10 seconds apiece, and let's see what you got here.
Well, Bob, you operate an AM radio, and you have been involved with a station. How would you like to have a 500,000-watt station at 800 kilohertz? This is TWR Bonaire, four towers, and you see the transmitting station in the background that covers all the way from Cuba to Brazil at night. And this is Swaziland. In Swaziland, we have shortwave transmitters. Those are three 100,000-watt transmitters that go into big log-periodic arrays that talk to all of Africa. We also have 100,000 watts of medium wave at about 1120 kilohertz. And we speak to most of Africa every day. This is the station where you just saw the inside, and you're looking across at the transmitter hall. This is located in the Kingdom of Swaziland, and if you're wondering where Swaziland is, that is just to the east of South Africa, and we cover from there the entire continent of Africa. That's the wonderful thing, Bob, about shortwave. Now, this is Guam, and on the island of Guam, we have two 250,000-watt transmitters and two 100,000-watt transmitters, and these antennas are curtain antennas that develop about 22 dB of gain. Can you imagine using a moon bounce array on 20 meters? And that's basically what they are. And it's incredible the gain they develop. How would you like to have a feed line like this with open line feeders? So this is on the island of Sri Lanka. We have a 400,000-watt AM radio station, and this is the coax that goes from the transmitter out to the antennas because of the extremely high power. And they can arc if you're not careful, and so those are open wire feeders. And things just look a little different when you're operating at high power, particularly in other countries. This is, if you want to see the inside of a real antenna matching, this is N7BHC. He's also Papa 47VHF and on the island of Bonaire. And this gives you an idea of some of the hardware and matching. How would you like to have those coils in your antenna matching unit? I mean, that'll take just about as much power as you want to put into it. That will take 100,000 watts of power and match the transmitter into the antennas. And yes, that's me standing in front of a 100,000 watt Nautel transmitter down on Bonaire. We're replacing that with a 450,000 watt transmitter, and we're just about ready to go on the air. Now, if you are interested in shortwave or actually broadcasting, this is in Venezuela. Radio Transmundial is the our partner in Venezuela. And they broadcast from right outside of Caracas to the entire country. And they produce programming for that station on Bonaire. And you can take a look at the production facility. This is Bonaire just about Christmas time. And it's a photograph of the four towers. And, you know, for those of us that really appreciate radio astronomy and appreciate looking at the stars, it's absolutely incredible with those towers in the background all lit up. And what a radio station.
That's beautiful.
Now, Bob, this is the entire aggregate radio coverage. You will see we cover from Australia out across China into Europe, Africa, Latin America, and just about the only place that we really don't touch is here in North America. So we're known probably better outside of the United States than we are actually here in the United States. I remember going to Swaziland, putting my passport down, and the lady asked me, said, who do you work for? And I said, I work for TWR, Transworld Radio. And she got up, shook my hand, and said, I'm a listener. Welcome to our country. And it's rather unique operating as an international broadcaster.
Well, the facility looks incredible, and I can imagine what you can do with that kind of power, but of course, not legal on the ham bands, although there might be a few have antennas like that. I can guarantee you a beautiful thing. I really appreciate seeing you
100 watts into 22 dB gain antenna on 20 meters is a real DX machine. I know. I've done it.
Well, I would imagine that you have plugged a 100-watt ham radio transmitter into one of those antennas and tried some of that, huh?
Yes, I have. And it's really fun. If you want to go on a trip someday and you'd like to do a de-expedition and, you know, in an air-conditioned place with a very good antenna, I mean, that would be a lot of fun, Bob. You ought to go with us sometime.
Well, we'll have to get our DX queen. It'll be coming up here in a little bit, Valerie, and her whole family. They do a lot of work in the de-expedition area. Maybe that would be a good place. We'll have a Ham Nation de-expedition. That would be cool.
Wouldn't that be fun? Can I just put one plug in here for those of you hams? If you're looking for an RF engineering job and you've wondered about going outside the United States, we are looking for qualified RF engineers. Bob, you know, we haven't turned out a good RF engineer in the United States probably in the last 25 years from the universities. And, you know, that university that you gave it your doctorate, you ought to really lobby them to be able to get back into analog and RF energy.
You are so right. And so many people that you talk to today that are working in broadcast began their career as a ham radio operator, and we need more of that. But there again, it's one of those things that we need more Elmering. We need to build things and help things happen along. But that's a really good thought for many of the guys and gals that are looking for jobs. Perhaps they know something that they can get involved. That would be wonderful. Well, I appreciate you coming on and telling us all about the TWR. And what's the best place we can go listen here in the States? Yeah, I know you're digitally, but do you have anything at all on RF that we can hear in the States?
Well, we do some short-form programming. I do a one-minute program called Get Hope that's on about 100 radio stations across the United States. But if you really want to listen to the programming, we have 41 languages that are accumulated on our aggregate digital platform. And just download TWR360 on either your Android or your Apple iPhone. And you can listen to all of the programming that's there. In fact, you can listen to Germany. You can listen to live broadcasts all around the world. And it's a very, very interesting place to begin to listen to what's going on internationally.
Well, that sounds like fun. I'll have to make that happen. And I know that a lot of our viewers will want to do that, too. Well, thanks for coming on and showing us all of the facilities. They're really beautiful. And we'll stay in touch with you and see what kind of DX we can pull by listening to shortwave. Shortwave's where it all started for many of us, me included. So we'll be listening to some of your broadcasts. Thanks so much, Lauren, for coming, and we'll talk to you really soon.
Have a great night, Bob.
Okay, thank you. Well, we want to take a little minute here and talk about DX engineering. So let's see. You probably have something ready to go, don't you, Mr. Don?
I do, as a matter of fact. Wow, can you imagine 100 watts into a 22 dB gain curtain antenna? Wow. And I bet you that if you wanted to build something like that, you could get everything you needed from DX Engineering, because DX Engineering is the go-to source for DXers and contesters. I mean, K3LR is in charge of the place. So what does that tell you? DX Engineering carries the highest quality equipment to make sure your on-the-air experience is the absolute best it can be. And their team is amazing. I was just down there a couple of weeks ago, and I met the whole team. And you're not going to find a more dedicated bunch, believe me. They make the highest quality equipment. They make a lot of their stuff. I want to tell you about their building their coax here in just a minute, so don't let me forget that. But anyway, they carry and manufacture the highest quality equipment that there is to make sure that your on-the-air experience is the absolute best it can be. And they work hard to help keep things priced for the average operator. In fact, you can get Ham Radio Deluxe software for a special discounted price, $89.95, plus you'll earn $10 DX bucks from now until November 1st. So you need to get on that. It's a short-time offer. But installing HRD, the Ham Radio Deluxe software, is kind of like hiring an assistant for your shack. It'll work with your computer interface radio to automatically log the contacts. I use it myself. It's great. It's really handy if you're working fast during a contest. You're working by yourself. It means you won't have to decipher your late-night handwriting. You should see mine, even in the middle of the day. You can monitor and operate your radio from a computer screen. A Ham Radio Deluxe will turn your PC sound card into a digital interface. Compatible with most digital modes, CW, RTTY, Slow Scan TV, PSK31, just to name a few. And it also lets you link your radio to your rotator with the integrated rotator control package. So working DX and the satellites will be even easier than ever. Keep your beam heading saved and organized. It is very cool. It comes on a CD-ROM. You get a lifetime license key, full year of tech support, free upgrades to ensure that you're working with the latest version. And read up on Ham Radio Deluxe software at dxengineering.com. And if you need an amplifier, check out ACOM's line at DX Engineering. Serious contesters rely on these cutting-edge high-performance amps, and they've done that for decades. Several models available. They cover HF and the 6-meter bands. You can see all the detailed specs and features on each at dxengineering.com. We were talking about antennas. How about the DX Engineering Skyhawk antenna? Great choice for long-distance contacts. In fact, there may not even be a better 2015 or 10-meter tri-bander on the market. It's a trap-free design, gives you the best bandwidth, the lowest loss possible. Aluminum stainless steel components give you the reduced weight plus the strength. Excellent corrosion resistance, years of trouble-free service. You can turn your little peanut whistle into a big gun with a pile-up busting Yagi, and it's manufactured and sold exclusively by DX Engineering. They help you do the best you can possibly do. Now, let's talk about this coax for a minute. I was there, and I saw how they make these things, how they high-pot test. And here's the attention to detail. The lady, and I'm sorry I can't remember her name, but she's soldering. She's got this huge... This soldering iron was big as my beer bottle here. I'm telling you, it was huge. And so she's soldering the coax on here, and she's soldering the PL plugs on there with their special PL plugs. And she looks at it, and she goes, I don't know. I don't like this. So look at this. And I looked at it, and I said, well, it looks fine to me. She says, yeah, but look, there's this is not quite the same as this. So she reheated it, reflowed the solder, and then she, of course, they have the shrink wrap with the glue in it and everything. And she put it under. It looked like a pizza oven. She put it in a little pizza oven, and it traveled, and it heated up the shrink tubing, and it sucked it all in. And she took it out, and she's looking at it, and she goes, oh, no, I got to heat this back up again. I said, why? She said, well, because the shrink tubing isn't quite – see how it's all the way up on this one? But it's like – and it was like a hair. It's a hair. I wouldn't have noticed it. You would have noticed it, but she noticed it. So she fired up the heat gun, and she reheated the shrink tubing, and she pushed it back up, and she burned her fingers in the process, pushed it back up, and she goes – okay, I like that. That's a lot better. This one's ready to go. Put it in the bag, heat sealed it, and off it went. That's the attention to detail at DX Engineering, and they ship faster than anybody else in the industry. You get your ground shipping order in by 10 o'clock tonight, 10 o'clock Eastern, Monday through Friday, and if it's in stock, it will go on a truck headed your way that night. Proven products, expert advice, DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Grab your catalog or shop online 24/7 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. Great people, a great company, and it all starts from the head back. Tim, K3LR, is in charge, and there's not a slouch in the bunch. I love them all. They're great. DX Engineering, thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation. Bob, you've been up there. It's a great place, I can't wait till they start carrying Heathkit stuff. You think they're going to start carrying Heathkit? Is Heathkit really coming back? I want to know. Is it really? I've heard rumors.
Yes. Yes, it is. I have a whole report, but we're running so long tonight. I'm going to save it to next week because I don't want to short this. It's an amazing story. Heathkit.com, check it out. They've got some things happening. There's a new little receiver they got going and a lot of parts and things. We'll talk about it next week when I can really put the time to it. We've just run over so much tonight. But I want to get to Dale. Dale's got some really nice things. And we have Valerie waiting in the chat room. So we don't want to cut their time short. So we'll do the Heathkit, I promise, next week. So Dale, it's nice to see you back again. And how are you doing? I bet you got a lot of videos. I hope so.
Hey, thanks, Bob. It's good to be back. I got an email from Val late this afternoon, after I got home even from work, asking if we were going to dress up for the Halloween tonight, and didn't have time to stop by and get a new costume, so I dug out the pirate wig from last year, so we'll go with that this year. Tonight, an event video, a retirement community, ideal for hams, and an educational shack tour from down under. Now, let's start by traveling to Madrid, Spain, for the Eber Radio 2015 convention. With the report, here's Etaine, EA4, Golf India, Lima.
Eber Radio held its first edition of their radio communication fair in the city of Parla, which is located in the south of Madrid, capital of Spain. This was held on the weekend of September 19th and 20th, 2015.
¿Venís aquí en Iber Radio?
Sí.
¿Ah? ¿Va a vender mucho?
Eso hasta mañana no se sabe.
Ah, okay. Muy bien.
The fair had a great turnout, nearly 2,000 people. It was covered by local TV, Telemadrid, and was attended by radio hams, electronic aficionados, local law enforcement, first responders, and anyone interested in the second-hand market. There were a number of presentations on the history of ham radio, emergencies, digital modes, QRP, the future of CB, WRTC 2018 in Germany, and even a session held by USA volunteer examiners for those interested in getting a US ticket.
Radio 2015 in the south of Madrid. It's a quite complete fair with all major manufacturers. So what did I get? I got a slim pocket antenna, type of a J-pole made from a platform cable by Cuco. I think it's a local manufacturer. And I'm going to try to see how that improves my VHF and UHF transmission reception.
Second-hand booths with current and vintage equipment attracted many, as well as major suppliers like Icom, Yaesu, Falcon, and distributors like Projecto 4, Astro Radio, Mastic Boom, Radiomania.net, Cuckoo Antennas, Big Signal, QRG, DX Patrol, and various clubs and associations. This is EA4GIL in Madrid.
For that report from Madrid, Etaine. Etaine was a real trooper for us. He wound up redoing that video several times. Just this morning, he added the voice track for our Ham Nation audio listeners. So please do keep that in mind if you do submit a video. Well, just because it's time to move to a retirement community doesn't mean you must give up on amateur radio. Courtesy of a link from Brad Lee, W0VFT, we've got a report from Rick, W1HZ.
The Embers, located in Marshalltown, Iowa, is a 108-unit independent living facility. Among the many amenities offered to our residents is a library, year-round swimming pool, billiard room, movie theater, a completely redesigned dining room, a putting course, and our favorite, a world-class ham radio shack featuring a high-gain Thunderbird beam at 70 feet.
Welcome to the Amber's Ham Shack. I'm Tom Morgan, W4UTK. Just sitting here trying to work a little DX on CW. Nice of you to stop in this morning, and happy to show you our rig here. This is the Ember's Ham Shack. It's got a little bit of everything. And
73, goodbye, and thank you for coming by.
The Ember's installed an ICOM 7000, Yaesu FT950, and an Ameritron ALS500 amplifier. Additionally, Tom, W4UTK, has added a Kenwood TS590S and Kenwood 450S. The antenna farm includes a high-gain TH6DX Thunderbird beam, a G5RV multiband dipole, a Comet GP9 for 2 meters and 440, and a Cushcraft AR6 Ringo Ranger. Well, thanks for visiting our ham shack today. We hope you've enjoyed your tour of the Embers. Please stop by if you're in the area, make a QSO, and have lunch on us.
Well, thanks for shooting that video, Rick. And Brad, thanks for sharing it with us on Ham Nation. Well, we're going to wrap up tonight's videos with an educational tour of the Ham Shack Down Under. Michael, VK5Z Echo Alpha, shares quite a few tips for making your ham shack functional and fun. Here's Mike.
Hi, this is Michael, VK5ZEA from Port Lincoln in South Australia. Welcome to my shack. Here's a wide-angle view of my operating position. It doubles up as a minor repair bench as well. I can do small repairs and project work here. Under my desk, I installed a handy shelf for instruction books, reference manuals, and component storage. You can never have too much shelf space in your shack. Here's a close-up of my main operating position. That's the IC7100 control head. The transceiver is up in the shelf there on the left. Going along, we've got a Kenwood TS140S, and further on, a TS130S, bit of a retro rig, and below that, a Kenwood TS50. A recent addition to my shack is the Rotel SM1000 smart mic. It allows you to add the open-source Codec 2-based FreeDV digital voice mode to any HF radio. It's an amazing device. The right-hand side of the shelf is the ancillary VHF and UHF end. Not sure how I'm going to mount these radios, but I need something that's flexible and nothing too permanent. The shelf that sits on top of the desk is made from 18mm MDF. There's several coats of polyurethane on there that provides a hard and durable finish. It sits on 15cm high furniture legs, and it's held to the desk with this turnbuckle arrangement. That's tight. That's not going to go anywhere. You can also see the LED light strip under there as well. This is the computer operating position here. Got some JT65 happening. And you can see the second screen. All I do is look up, and I can see the second screen up there. As you can see, the desk sits away from the back wall by around 60cm. I always wanted access behind the desk for cabling and maintenance and, yeah, just ease of use. This is the beauty of having the design of this desk away from the wall. I can get to the back of my rigs without any trouble at all. I don't have to reach behind. I don't have to pull the equipment out. I can just walk around behind my desk, and it's right in front of me. It's just so convenient. Behind the desk, you can see some of my cable management solutions, or lack thereof, as the case may be. I've got this cable basket hanging from the underside of a desk. I've also got slotted ducting on top of a desk, and you'll also notice there are holes underneath for cables to drop through from the ducting to underneath. Hidden away behind the desk is my main power supply. It's a 13.8 volt, 30 amp switch mode unit designed for radio communication systems. It's very RF quiet. It also maintains my backup battery. For power distribution, I use a Rig Runner 8012 power board. There's still a little bit of daylight outside, but I've closed the drapes and I've turned off the main room lighting. So this is what it looks like at night. And underneath, you can see the shelf is nicely illuminated with an LED light strip as well. Thanks for watching, and hopefully I'll talk to you on air. 7-3 from VK5ZEA.
Very good. Thanks, Michael. I'm sure the new hams out there picked up quite a few tips there about how to build their shack. Well, that's it for tonight. We look forward to seeing your shack soon. Next time, we'll try to have another compilation of Show Me Your Shack. We still have room for yours, so send your photos and the links to your videos, by the way, to Ham Nation Videos at TWIT.TV. Well, Val's up next. Can't wait to see her costume, and she'll have questions from the chat room. But first, let's check out the latest from ICOM.
The fall season kicks off a fun time of the year, contesting. Whether you just jump in for a few hours or plan your week around the weekend strategy, ICOM has you covered. Contesting on a budget? Check out the IC7410, 32-bit floating-point DSP unit, all-mode, SSB, CW, RIDI, AM, and FM, and plus 30 dBm third-order intercept point to clearly receive the weakest signals. ICOM's IC7600 has your window to the contest, the spectrum scope, LED backlighting on an ultra-wide 5.8-inch display, dual watch on the same band, advanced DSP technology, and 3IF roofing filters. For low power category performance, just drop down the power to meet your low power requirements with ICOM's IC7700. Spectrum waterfall display on an impressive 7-inch color LCD, audioscope function for AF observation, and direct remote control operation with ICOM's RS-BA1 software. And with ICOM's IC7851, when running with the big boys, you'll be leading the pack with all the pile-up braking, frequency-running tools at your fingertips. 1.2 kHz optimum roofing filter, new local oscillator design with improved phase noise, and several spectrum scope enhancements. Make sure you visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's selection of contesting rigs.
And check out ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation for the weekly ICOM drawing. You can win swag like T-shirts and hats and all kinds of cool stuff. But also, there is a monthly grand prize drawing for a radio. And for the month of October, you still have time to get in and get registered for the ID880H. Dual band mobile transceiver D-Star. It's the mobile companion to the ID80AD D-Star handheld. It's a great radio, and you can win it. ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation for the weekly grand prize drawing. And everybody who wins the swag, of course, is registered for the monthly radio drawing, and that is the ID880H. George is not with us tonight, so we don't have a contest. We'll have that next week when George gets back. But we do have Valerie tonight watching the chat room. Hello, Val. Can't wait to see your Halloween costume. Dazzle us.
Hi, everybody. Oh, Officer Friendly here. I'm filling in for Amanda tonight in the chat room. And so I have a fair warning for you guys, Don, Bob, and Dale. When I send you these questions, you better get the answers right. You know, don't make me use these. I liked your costumes, guys, by the way. And Dale, I loved yours. By the way, you probably don't know it, but I am an enrolled tribal member of the Ponca tribe of Nebraska. I know I don't look Native American, but I am. So are my kids. Anyway, I got a bunch of questions. Some of them were for George and for Gordo, so I'm skipping over those. So we'll start with you, Bob. Do ground radial wires around a tower work? And if so, how?
Do ground radial...
Oh, I'm sorry. That's from Tim, Kilo India 6, Lima, Sierra, Papa.
Well, if you have any kind of a tower, you do need some ground radials if it's going to be fed. If it's an antenna, you have to have two pieces of antenna, the radiator and the reflector part. And if you don't have any radials in the ground, you only have half an antenna. So, yeah, and radials are very important. And let's see. a couple of weeks ago. How many radials did you have on that one tower, Ms. Kopp? What was that?
We have 30,000 feet of ground radials on our 160-foot vertical. And that's because they act as a counterpoise, sort of like the other half of a dipole.
Yes, exactly. So, yes, they're very important. If you're going to feed that tower as an antenna, have to have it. It's a must.
Yeah. All right. Next one goes to you, Dale. Marty, Kilo Charlie 1, Charlie Whiskey Fox. He wants to know what the best tri-bander is for a rooftop antenna.
Okay, the best what for?
Tri-bander. What would be a good tri-bander to put on the roof?
Okay, I think if he's going on the roof, he probably wants something a little smaller, so maybe one of the Cushcrafts or something like that that has a little less wind resistance, a little less area to swing around over the house there, I think is probably going to be his best bet.
Sounds good. I know my first tri-bander I had on my roof, and it was a high-gain TH3, and it worked great. I bought it for $100 used. But, yeah, sounds good.
I had one like that.
You did, too?
I had a Cushcraft, and it was a three-element tri-bander, and just barely fit over the house in Rockville, Maryland, and worked out real good. The band, it was back during one of the great sunspot cycles in the late 1980s, and I worked Europe and all over, yeah, just one contact after another. It was fantastic. So did a good job.
Mine did well, too. I did 200 countries with that one.
Valerie, so the Mosley has a TA-33 Junior. That works extremely well. I had one of those years ago. And Force 12 has their SS model, and those are all small antennas, but they perform really well.
Let's not forget about DX Engineering Skyhawk antenna, too, 2015 and 10. We talked about that in the DX Engineering ad tonight. That's a great antenna. No traps means it has really good bandwidth and low loss. So check that out, the Skyhawk. There it is right there. That's a good one, too.
And that's the one Jerry recommended as well, but he's not a Ham Nation cast member. All right. Hey, Don, do you have any experience with lithium ion batteries? Alpha Echo 7 Yankee Hotel, he saw that there's these lithium ion batteries with 98 watt hours, and he wanted to know if anybody here has had any experience with those.
I have not, not with those particular ones. We'll have to pose that question to Gordo perhaps next week. He was thinking of using it as a QRP power source. Right. I can tell you that you got to be careful with lithium ion batteries and how you charge them, because if you overcharge them or something, those things can explode, and you do not want to see that. In fact, you want to see something pretty scary and impressive, go to YouTube and just search for or LiPos, lithium ions or lithium polymer batteries. Exploding, being overcharged, it's scary. I mean, it will burn your house down. So when you do charge those batteries, there are guys I know that actually have a safe or a ceramic dish covered fireproof thing when they charge those batteries, like, for instance, for radio control airplanes and things like that. So you got to be careful with the lithium stuff, because it can it is not pretty if you overcharge it. So always make sure you use the recommended charger on those things.
Very good. And second last one here is for Bob. Kilo Echo 5, Foxtrot Echo November. He wants to know, what is the best wire to use for a portable wire antenna?
Anything works very well. It just depends on what you have. I have had some great success doing some portable operation with lamp cord. It doesn't have to be real heavy. You're probably operating low power, so you don't need 10 or 12 or 14 gauge. And so just about anything works as the antenna radiator. Just depends on what you need to do and how you need to roll it up. We're looking at a thing right now that to try to get on the show here in a couple of weeks. It rolls up in a little, looks like a yo-yo, and you roll it up and the wire is very thin, but it works great. So just about anything works. Just make sure that you're not going to put high power to it, and you should be okay.
You remember earlier in the year we had the guy who had made the antenna out of an orange extension cord. I was calling it the home dipole. Yep. Remember that? Yeah, you can, anything will work. And that of course, you know, you can you get a 20-foot piece of a 20-foot piece of Home Depot extension cord. You can make a nice little antenna out of that for 10 or 20. So yeah, go for it.
I thought that was a really good deal that he did because he was a new ham. So, yeah, super duper. And don't forget, everybody, today is National Chocolate Day. Just thought I'd throw that in.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to celebrate later.
Yeah, I'm going to have to celebrate that one when we're done. And my first wire was, I had speaker wire laying around. I used speaker wire, and I made 142-foot loop sky wire on my roof. So anything works. But I know DX Engineering sells actual dipole wire. They have a good deal on that. Last one, actually, I think I'm going to answer. Bob, you might want to chime in too, but Victor Echo 3, Mike India, Charlie Mike, he wanted to know on those remote islands, like the segment you just had, how do they generate power? Well, I know from Jerry when he goes on these de-expeditions, a lot of these remote islands with small populations, they use those diesel fuel oil power generators. They're huge. And that's what powers the whole island. But maybe you know, but Bob, when talking with Lauren, what they use there.
No, that's exactly right. Caterpillar and some of the monster diesels that run the whole island. So, you got that. You nailed that right.
Oh, good. Well, that's all I've got for tonight. I had a lot more for Gordo and George, but that'll have to wait. And we do have the 20-meter net on 14.268. I did not see where the 40-meter net is right now, but a lot of people were saying 40's really not in good shape tonight, so I'm not sure where they're going to be tonight.
It's really in bad shape. I've been listening, and the frequency's clear, so we're going to fire up on 7278. Al is going through some flooding here this evening, and Mike is off. So I'm going to have the watch when as soon as the broadcast is over here. And then hopefully Eric, the King of Jersey, into KOJ will be on to help take some check-ins from the East Coast, too. But we'll be firing that up as soon as we turn around and get to work. So we're going to try 7278 like normal.
And, of course, the digital nets Echo Link on the Dewdrop-In conference server. That's node 355-800. And the D-Star net on 14 Charlie, Reflector 14 Charlie. So make sure you participate in those as well. Val?
All right. Well, you guys did great tonight. I didn't get to use my handcuffs. Darn it.
Oh, the night is
That's
young.
That's all I've got for tonight. I'll see you guys next week. I'm going to do a little follow-up on the beverage thing. A little stuff I couldn't fit in this last week. And plus, I have a really cool interview. So you're going to want to stick around next week for my segment.
Jerry is waiting, so just
he is. I'll play with him later.
Thank you.
My chocolate and my handcuffs.
My wife has a pair of those cuffs, and I have not yet begun my felonious activities. But the night is young, and so am I. So,
thanks very much, Valerie, for filling in. I want everybody to know that George is having a really serious internet problem. This is why George isn't here tonight. And thanks, Dale. And, of course, we always want Gordo in there. And really a lot of thanks to Lauren Libby for giving us the great pictures and the stuff about the TWR. I want to go check that out and listen to some of that shortwave stuff. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Happy Halloween. We'll be back next week right here at the same time. I'm in the Ohio Sound plant again. I'll be here for another couple of weeks before we head back down to the Ozark. And I miss it because I have no radios here. Well, we have a lot of radios, but they're all testing radios for testing microphones and headsets. But no antennas, I guess I should say, dummy loads. Thanks very much. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. 7-3, and this is K9EID. Bye-bye for now. Thank you.